Awesome. Good morning, everybody. Good to see all of you. I'm glad you're here today. I'm going to pick up where I left off 2 weeks ago and really talking about making room for the Holy Spirit. You know, today is Pentecost Sunday, which may or may not mean something to you, but this is the day that we celebrate the birth of the church and the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so all this summer, I'm going to be speaking on and talking about the Holy Spirit. And what my heart is on all this is not just that I give you more information about the Holy Spirit, but that we create opportunities to really experience the Holy Spirit. And so I'm hungry for that. Are you hungry for that? I mean, I'm hungry for more of God, more of His Holy Spirit. And so I just want to start with the prayer this morning. Lord, I thank You that You love us. I thank You, Lord, that You've got great things in store for us. And I thank You, Lord, that we're on the doorstep of a new season. Lord, I thank You, Father, that those that are here, Lord, are hungry for more of You. And we just ask You to bring Your presence now. Touch our hearts, touch our lives, or bring us in a new level of freedom, peace, Lord, a whole new level of trusting in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. I just want to start with a couple of prophetic words, just because I feel like the Lord is moving me. Deanie, I just want to just pray over you and thank the Lord for you. I felt and I saw you come in the room. First of all, I'm surprised that you're here, but I'm really happy. Deanie's husband of 40-plus years passed away this week. And Jim sat right there, Sue, where you're sitting, every Sunday. And they've been faithful members of this church for over 20 years. And so Jim was you ever see that movie Top Gun? Top Gun? Yes or no? Yes. 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 Okay, good. Jim was that guy. He was a Top Gun instructor. He was a fighter pilot. And he'll be buried next Tuesday with full military honors. And so we'll have a service here on Tuesday morning, and then Tuesday afternoon he'll be buried with full honors, which he deserves. And I just felt like the Lord just said to me, Deanie, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what He's saying to you today. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been caretaking people since your mom and dad for over 10 years longer now. And the Lord said, you're about to enter into a new season of refreshing, that Jim has joined that great cloud of witnesses that are going to cheer you on to the end, that you hadn't even thought about the great experiences that God has in store for you in this next season in your life. And so as the Lord is comforting you and bringing your friends around you to let you know how much you're loved, how much Jim was loved, just know that part of this process is bringing you into a new season where God not only is going to comfort you and encourage you and lift you up, but He's going to use you to do the same for others. And you're going to find a joy that's inexpressible in this next season and a life that's beyond whatever you could ask, think, or hope in Jesus. Amen? I love you, Deanie. Yeah, and we love Jim. Let's give Deanie a big hand. We love her. Ben and Melissa, I have a word for you guys. I just feel like the Lord just said to me, there's a whole new season, of course, coming to your lives. I mean, God's got something in store for you. Something's a real blessing. But as I was thinking about that, I said, like, duh, yeah, they got a new season. For those of you that don't know, Ben and Melissa are going to be moving to Arizona, where he's going to take a big church over there and eventually become the senior pastor. And so what I wanted to do and just what I asked him to do while he's still here is just, hey, keep showing up, keep coming, keep being with us. We love you. We want you to get the maximum blessing before you go. Yeah. And so this is really a part of it. I just feel like the Lord's not only going to open up a new season for you in work and what it is that you do, but there's a really new season. And this is kind of what I felt like the Lord said of spirituality. That God's going to plug you in at a whole new level of really observing, seeing, and experiencing His Spirit in a really powerful way. And Melissa, I saw this especially true for you. You know, you a long time ago, when you gave your heart to Jesus, you really gave it to Him. He has it. And but you've just sort of seen your role is to really support, take care of the kids, and you know, serve others and stuff. But I really see that God's really going to anoint you, and with a fit word in the right season for people's lives, with supernatural wisdom. The Lord's going to give you that prophetic gift. You're not going to have to say, thus say the Lord, or anything weird. You're just going to be able to encourage people with what their future looks like, giving them hope, injecting life into them. And God's going to use the two of you in a new way. I mean, this is a really promotion for both of you together, not both of you separated. And you're going to begin to see God really, really answering your prayers and really bringing your dreams to pass about your own ministry. And I just felt like that in my mind's eye, when I looked at you and thought about all this, I felt like the Lord just said, don't worry about the boys. I got them. And so not only is the Lord going to protect them and watch over them, but I believe that your boys have a real call of God on their lives. And all three of them are going to serve the Lord. They're going to serve the Lord with gladness. They're going to be powerful in their own right. And we just bless you guys. We love you. Y'all are awesome. Let's give them a hand. What I'm going to do over the next few weeks is I'm going to take a chapter or a piece of a chapter, and I'm going to bring an explanation to it, just a little bit of explanation, because if you remember 2 weeks ago, I talked about three keys to creating the right atmosphere for more of the Holy Spirit. Three keys for creating the right atmosphere for the Holy Spirit. I said one is the Word, and that is sound biblical teaching. We want good theology, but we want good Spirit-filled theology. We want good... That's not... The reason is not just so you be more well-informed. We want you to be well-informed, but we also want you to move out of where you are today into a whole new level of walking in the Spirit. And so we want to have good, sound biblical teaching. Secondly, we want to be intentional. Being intentional really simply boils down to this, to take you out of the center of your world and start thinking how you can minister to others. Because that is really one of the keys to creating an environment for the Holy Spirit speaking to you and for you experiencing Him, is move out of the center of your life and put others in there and begin to think about, you know, it's like getting up this morning thinking, I get to go to church. Well, just add this phrase to it and find somebody there I can minister to, right? And so that's a real key, the intentionality. And third thing, it's impossible to please God without faith. You got to have faith. Faith is a sense of the expectation that God's at work and God's going to do something. And so those three things are keys. And so what today I want to take is a passage from 1 Corinthians. It is chapter 2, so you can turn your Bible there. But when you read these epistles, this is 1 Corinthians, so this is Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth. That's the proper name of it, right? It's the first letter to the church at Corinth. And so he spent some time there. We find out the time that he spent there, we found out what happened from Acts chapter 18. And so we look back at Acts chapter 18, and we see Paul's experience in Corinth. So it is it reads, you know, it's a narrative of what sort of went on there during his time there. We find out that Paul met a couple who were very instrumental in his life and in his ministry. Their names were Aquila and Priscilla. They were a married couple. They were tent makers, just like Paul was. So Paul sort of moved in with them. And did work and worked with them, and they all three made tents in Corinth. We see that Paul, from Acts chapter 18, reasoned and taught in the synagogues. Now, the synagogues were where the Jewish believers were, of the Jewish faith. Paul, being a Jew, would usually start his ministry in whatever city he went to in the synagogue. And in most cases, it didn't work out too well for him there. This is also the truth in Corinth, as he went into the synagogues and he would reason with them, he would teach them, and they did not receive him. So he said, you know what, I'm going to just go on back to the Gentiles. And so he moves. I suppose he was living sort of with Aquila and Priscilla, but he moves to the house of a man named Justus, and his house happens to be right next door to the synagogue. And from there, he begins to minister. And we see that the ruler of the synagogue next door, a man named Crispus, converts and comes to faith in Christ. And then revival is full-fledged on at that point. and there's a real move of God. And so the Lord speaks to Paul and tells him, don't be afraid. I'm with you. I have many people in this city, and I have a real place for you here in this city. And so for the next 18 months, he ministers to the Corinthians. And remember, the Corinthians are the Christians who live in Corinth. And so it's a real place. These are real people. He really did 18 months of his life. Wouldn't it be great if Paul showed up here one day and said, look, for the next 18 months, I'm going to work with you, hang with you, teach you, impart to you, and share with you my life. And so for 18 months, he lived there and did that. Now, this is what my plan is to do with you, not for 18 months, but is really is to teach and minister in the same manner that I think the scriptures teach that Paul taught and ministered there. He had great favor with the rulers of the city there. And so he had a phenomenal time with the Corinthians. The Corinthians were close to his heart. And the minute he left, they started getting in trouble. And so this is why he writes 1 and 2 Corinthians to them, is to really to correct them. So if you brought your Bible, you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And let's just give a brief exposition, a brief just explanation of the scriptures. He begins, verse 1 says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God." Now, Paul was capable of bringing an excellence of speech. He was very well educated. He was at least trilingual. And he was certainly a bright man. I mean, he wrote 2/3 of your New Testament, so he had plenty of firepower when it comes down to his language and his language arts. But here's what he says: "I came to you, I did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God." So it wasn't about me trying to persuade you, in other words. It wasn't about me trying to come and wow you with my knowledge of English, in his case, Greek, and wow you with all that. He says, verse 2, "So for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." He was focused. He was focused. I think that's one thing you can say about the Apostle Paul. He's extremely focused. He didn't get off task. He knew what he'd been called to. He was clear about it, and he stayed after it every day. And so he says he was focused. What was he focused about? That Jesus Christ and him crucified is the only way to salvation. That Jesus Christ and him crucified is the only way for you to have your sins forgiven and for you to get to heaven. And so he was clear about that, right? And he says, "I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling." So when he came to them, he wasn't some pompous, out-of-town evangelist who showed up, you know, with his entourage. No, when he got there, I mean, Paul's already been run out and beaten in a bunch of cities already. And so he realizes it's just a matter of time before he gets run out of this one too. So he says, "I was weak and afraid and had a lot of trembling." Verse 4 says, "And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom." But look at this phrase here: "but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Now, I love that particular passage, and that's sort of where I want to camp, really, when we start talking about the purpose of all that I'm going to be sharing over the next few weeks and months, is really to move from a place where we're better informed or well-informed people who have very little power in our lives, to moving to a place where we're better informed, moving in at least some power in our lives. And so he says, "I didn't come to persuade you using my human words of wisdom." He said, "but I came in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Now, a few minutes, I just gave our sister Deanie a word. That is a demonstration of the Holy Spirit. That's a demonstration of the Holy Spirit. The Lord showed her to me. I know a lot about Deanie. I know a lot about her situation. But when he showed me her, he gave me this phrase: "Tell her, well done, good and faithful servant." So the Lord gave me that download. That's all I got. That was it. And so what I had to do then to demonstrate the Spirit is I had to step into what God had given me. And so how did I step into it? By taking a step of faith. What was a step of faith? Deanie, I believe the Lord has a word for you. And so, you know, you've heard seasoned prophets can make it real flowery and say, thus saith the Lord God Almighty. I don't get into all that. You know why? Because I think that's weird. And one of the things that we're going to try to help everybody here, turn to your neighbor and say, we're going to try to help you with your weirdness. Yeah. And we're going to demystify things that are mystical and make them alive, okay? Make them life-giving. That's what we're going to try to do here. And so I had to collaborate with the Spirit. And as I collaborate means to be co-labor. So the Spirit of God gave me a download, Deanie. And thank you, Deanie, for letting me use you as an example today. Deanie, well done, good and faithful servant. And then as I stepped in there, spoke those words, then the Lord gave me more. And so it was a move of faith. It was a move of me expecting that if I step into that zone, God then is going to speak to me and move in and move. This works for anything. And so the deal is, though, is that you cannot be sure of what God's going to do once you step into that zone. And so you just have to be like Nancy talked about earlier today. You have to be that kind of soft clay and to go with the flow. And there's nothing wrong with saying, give me a second. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with saying, wait just a minute here. And there's nothing wrong with just sharing just only what you got. Nothing wrong with that. You know, the Bible says that that prophecy is for the edification, exhortation, and comfort of men. The Bible says that we can all prophesy one by one, okay? And so, you know, moving in the Spirit, demonstrating the Spirit, is really co-laboring with the Spirit and really hearing Him, stepping into that faith zone, and then allowing Him to use you. And so he says, my preaching and my teaching were in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. This is what Paul did. This was his MO. This is what he did in the synagogue. This is what he did in the year and a half that he was there living in the house of justice. J-U-S-T-U-S, justice. And so he had a reason for it. Verse 5 says that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. My feeling is this. If somebody can talk me into something, then somebody else can talk me out of it, right? And so we don't want to just use human words of human wisdom of persuasion, because there's some people like, you know, you heard the phrase, they could sell ice to an Eskimo. I mean, there's some people that are so smooth and so awesome at selling, they can sell you anything, and then you buy the ice, and you realize I already had a lot of ice. I can't believe I bought this ice. The guy was irresistible, and so so in the same moment you were persuaded to buy the ice, you were persuaded not to buy any more from him ever again because you had plenty. Okay, that's not what we want to leave you with, you having been humanly persuaded to something. What we want to leave you with is God showing up in your life and putting something so indelible inside of you that you know it. Have I shared my encounter with the Lord this service? Did I do that? Sometimes I forget that, huh? My first encounter with the Holy Spirit was the day that I came to Christ. I'll tell you this. Sometimes I forget because I preach it two or three times before I get here. So once to myself, once to the first service now. And so I prayed to receive Christ about 10 days before this event happened. I got a new Bible, new friends, new church. But something was not quite kosher with everything, because I had only been persuaded, really, that I should ask Christ into my life. It's better not being persuaded, but that's it. I'd just been persuaded. But inside, I knew there was something off, something a little off. And so I woke up one morning, about 10 days after I'd prayed to receive Christ, and I felt like there was a weight on my chest. It was the weight of conviction. The conviction of the hypocrisy in my life of saying that I was a Christian but not really living like one. You see, with human words of persuasion, you have no power against the flesh. You have no power to change your own life. You can start new habits and start new things. Yes, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about real, meaningful, lasting change is in the flesh is really hard at best and impossible most of the time. And so there I was laying in bed. I woke up, felt this pressure on my chest. I rolled out of bed and I got on my knees and prayed that morning. I just said, Lord, if you'll forgive me, of course he'll forgive you. He's waiting on you to come and ask him. If you'll forgive me for calling myself a Christian and not living like one, then from this day forward, I'm going to live to serve you. And the presence of the Lord came in that room. And I had an amazing experience that day. It was as if I were standing at the doorway of my apartment bedroom, and I could see the whole bedroom, and I was watching me pray right there. And as I was watching me pray, the whole room lit up with the presence of God. Now, here's the thing that I know is God's presence, because I've never been the same since then. Does this happen to everyone? No, it just happened to me. You've got your own experience. You have your own testimony. You have your own life, okay? But what I want to do, what I believe is those kinds of encounters are not supposed to be just be once-in-a-lifetime encounters. I think we're supposed to have an ongoing relationship with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He says, lo, I'll be with you to the ends of the age. Well, how is he going to do that? By giving us his Spirit. By giving us his Spirit. And so these encounters with God, these walking in the Spirit, you know, is something that I would like to see increased in my own life. I don't know about you, but I'd like to see it increased in my own life. And I'd like to see the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the manifestations of the Spirit, begin to work in a new level in my life. I'd like to see God's presence come in a new level. I'd like some sick people to walk into my office sick and walk out healed. Is there something wrong with that? I don't think so. Do you? And so anyway, he says, look, our faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And verse 6 says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden mystery which God ordained before the ages of our glory, for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. Now, I want to just bring you back to this word mature. He says, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. Now, most, or at least a lot, of people who comment on the New Testament think that Paul is setting up something here to contrast rank unbelievers with believers. And this word mature refers to believers. And I'm not saying that I don't hold to that, but I think it's deeper than that. I think it's more than that. I think the idea is that you can be born again and still not very mature, right? Especially when it comes to spiritual things. And so what we do is, and what we have a tendency to do, is rely upon our reasoning abilities, our intellect, our schooling, our human wisdom, so that we know more about God, and we become a little bit better informed sinners. God said it, didn't I? But I just put it right out there, didn't I? And so what my hope is that we begin to understand that God wants us to mature spiritually. And a spiritual maturity comes with really being familiar with, walking with, having experience of, being schooled in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And so a lot of the evangelical church has sort of taken it totally off the table and reduced the Holy Spirit to a nice, understandable piece of theology. And I'm here to take him out of that jar and bring him right into your life. And that's really what my heart is to remove him from this boundary that we've put him in of how he works and how he lives to bigger than that, that he can interact in my life in a major way, right? And so why? So your faith rests on the power of God, okay? He says, it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. God has some great life, a great destiny, a great purpose prepared ahead of you. And it's something beyond what you could think, beyond what you could ask, even beyond what you can hope. That was part of the word that I gave Deanie this morning, is that her next season is going to be beyond of what she could hope, think, or ask. And I believe that for her, but I also believe that for you too. I believe that God has a whole nother season for wherever you are in your life. Maybe you've been beat up in a relationship. Maybe you've just gone through a divorce. Maybe you've had a child that's been wayward. Maybe you've been fired from a job. Maybe you're broke. Maybe you've been put in jail. I don't know where you've come from, all of you. But here's what I can say to you is that just because you're there now doesn't mean that you're going to stay there. And God has something great for you, something in store for you. And so he says, eye has not seen it, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God prepares, has prepared for those who love him. Do you love Jesus? Yes. Do you love Jesus?
Yes.
Do you really love Jesus?
Yes.
Then God has something great prepared for you. He has something great prepared for you. Verse 10 says, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So it's the Holy Spirit who illuminates for us. And I'm going to just probably get in more trouble here, so I'm going to say more than that, okay? It's more than just illumination. That God, something that's been hidden in times past for us, has now been revealed to us. And so some people get real uptight about those two words, revelation and illumination, and I understand why. But I think it's what I'm trying to say is that things have been hidden from us. Next week, I'm going to be talking from Luke 24. And one of the things that's so evident in Luke 24 is the Bible says is their eyes and their understanding were restrained from knowing that Jesus was walking with them to the road to Emmaus. Their eyes were restrained. What does that mean? Things were in plain view that they couldn't see. Jesus was plainly with them, but their eyes were restrained from seeing it. There are things in my life, things in your life that are still hidden that the Spirit of God wants to reveal, wants to bring out. And so I want to help us discover those things. Is that okay? Yeah. So he says, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So every one of us humans in here, we have a personality. Some people call that a soul, mind, will, and emotions. And we have a personality that gives life to our flesh, you know. And so you look one way in the mirror, but you have a whole different personality that can't be seen in the mirror, right? And so it is that personality of you that really knows what's really going on in you. You can hide it from other people. You can hide it from your husband, from your wife, from your boyfriend, from your girlfriend. You can hide it from your boss. You can hide it, but your spirit knows it, right? The spirit of man knows what's in the man. In the same way, the Spirit of God knows the deep things of God. He's, for lack of another word, he is the personality of God. He's the personality of God. And so when we receive the personality of God, the outpoured Holy Spirit, and we begin to walk with him because he's in us and with us, we begin to walk with him, then we begin to discover some of the great things that God has hidden for people that we love and care about. I love and care about Deanie. And today, there was a little bit that was hidden that was exposed. What was exposed? Well done, good and faithful servant. And so this is how this works, using just a simple idea here. Verse 12 says, now we received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. God wants us to know these hidden things. Listen, you've been freely given a stack of wonderful things, of great things from God. But the only way that you're going to get them is to draw near to the Holy Spirit and listen to him. And we're going to help you do that, help you learn how to do this next few weeks. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. I want to get in trouble again, okay? Is it all right for me just to go ahead and get in trouble?
Yeah.
I believe verse 13, it says, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, not in English. In his case, not in Greek. Okay, so here it goes. But which the Holy Spirit teaches. This is why I think it's important for every believer to have a prayer language. A language that the Holy Spirit gives you. And he goes on to say, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And here's the first caveat about having a prayer language, about having something that is different than your English language, something that's different than the wisdom you've been taught in school or through experience, is that it's spiritual. Ta-da, spiritual. Now, what does that mean? That means it's not rational. It's spiritual. It's not reasonable sometimes. It's spiritual. Because God doesn't have a rationale like yours. Nor does he reason like you do. Why? His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. His ways are greater than your ways. Right? And so if you're going to walk in the things of the Spirit, one of the things you're going to have to surrender to is allowing God to give you a new language. Just saying. We'll come back to that later. Just saying. Don't anybody freak out. Run out the door screaming. This is going to be okay. Here we go. Ready? So, verse 14 says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit. Again, some people who comment on this would say, well, he's talking about lost people. And I don't disagree that he's talking about lost people, but I also think he's talking about the spiritually immature who are still natural-minded. Have you ever met guys that, you know, perhaps have been in the church for 10, 20, 30 years, and they're still very carnally minded, very naturally minded? And so, you know, they see somebody who has some kind of malady. It's, oh, poor thing. I mean, that's just the way it works. Well, wait just a minute. God can change that. I mean, so with the spiritual maturity, you operate in another level of faith, right? And so it's very difficult to compare a spiritual language for somebody who doesn't have a spiritual language. I mean, it's impossible. And I wish I could give a better example of this naturally, but here goes. How many people are married in here? Or you have been married? Great. So the rest of you are single. We could sit down with lunch and spend 2 hours telling you about marriage. We could. We could spend 2 hours telling you about it. But you ain't got a clue until you get married. Right? Speaking in a spiritual language is the same idea. I can tell you what it does for me. I can tell you how I use it. I can tell you, you know, what I believe about it. I can tell you all those things. But until you speak in a spiritual language, you ain't going to get it. So one of the things we have to do here is just say, I don't get it. There's a lot of things I still don't get. But that's particularly one I do get. And so what I want to talk to you about really is the attitude that we got to have a move of the Spirit of God in our lives. And that attitude is, I'm surrendered to you, Lord. Show me, help me. You're here today because God brought you here today. And God has something in store for you. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. Now, my own experience, and I'm sure yours does too, says that we know lots of people who call themselves Christians, go to church, whatever, have no spiritual discernment whatsoever. Okay? So that's why I go back to that word mature. I believe it's saved people for sure, but I also believe it's people who, by reason of use and by study, have come into a place where they begin to walk in spiritual things, trusting in a spiritual God. And my job, I think, probably is, not probably, but what I think, is to demystify some of those things and to make them where you can grasp them and hopefully where you be hungry for them. Why wouldn't you want everything that God has for you? I know, I want it all. And say, well, the reason I don't is because, well, my theology doesn't allow for it. Well, let's bust through that theology and let's just, hey, let's get to God, right? Yeah, okay, that's all right. I'm not mad at anybody, love everybody, so it's going to be awesome. Verse 15, but he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. In other words, you know, how can somebody who is walking in spiritual things be judged by somebody who's not? It's like a single person judging a married person for the way they conduct their marriage. Dude, you ain't got a clue. So sit down and be quiet. Right? I mean, that's all I'm going to say. Right? Verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And so I love it here at the end. He leaves out hope. What is the hope? Is that God has given you something where you can begin to move into a whole nother level of your walk with the Holy Spirit. He's given you his mind, his ability to spiritually reason, if you will, and to spiritually understand. And so what's left here then, and this will be, we'll be looking at this next week in a big way, what's left is him to pull back the veil, because it's hidden to us. It's hidden to us. And the key to unhiding it, revealing it, getting it, is us, watch this, having a heart for God and a surrendered attitude. We won't have that surrender attitude. So if we're going to make room for the Holy Spirit, we've got to have the right approach. Probably everybody in this room has flown in an airplane, and right before you land, you hear the pilot come on and say, we are making our final approach. And so what is the final approach before you get to your destiny, your destination? It's what? Is lining up with the runway and bringing it out of the clouds onto terra firma, right? So he makes his final approach, right? This is the approach that you have to make with the Holy Spirit. Come out of where you are now, line up with God's word, right? Until you hit your final destination, right? And so that lining up with God's word requires us to humble ourselves. Requires us to surrender and allow God to work in our lives. So here's the big points for today. Number one is that we want to preach and teach in the demonstration of the Spirit and power. And so I've already outlined at least a half a dozen messages after this one, really just going through different chapters of the Bible, bringing an explanation. But every one of them lead to a time of ministry. An opportunity for us to get closer to God, an opportunity for us to experience his presence. And so we want to preach and teach the demonstration of the Spirit of power. Number two, that our faith should rest upon the power of God. Number three, that we have been given the Spirit of God. If you're born again here, you've been given God's Spirit. God has prepared great things for us, things that we have yet to see. And the Holy Spirit reveals those things that are hidden to us. If you like the word illuminate better, just put it there. He illuminates things that are hidden to us. Okay? But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit. In fact, the Bible says he can't receive them. So there has to be a level of surrendering that foothold, that stronghold of everything having to make sense to you, of everything having to be tidy theologically. You have to eliminate that and bring it into a place where, you know what, I just want more God. I just want more of the Lord's presence in my life. I need God in a powerful way. And then finally, here's the hope for all of us. If you're here listening today or you're listening by video or audio, just want to let you know that when you're born again, you have the mind of Christ and that you have the ability to spiritually discern. All you just need is a little courage to go for it. That's it. Just a little courage to go for it. Let's all stand together. In a minute, I'm just going to open the altar and have our pastors come and just be here. But here's what I want to just encourage you about, and I don't want you to feel any pressure at all. But how many of you say, I got a situation in my life where I need more of the Holy Spirit? I really need more of the Holy Spirit. It's marriage, kids, job, income. sickness, a health issue. I need more of the Holy Spirit. Who's like that? I mean, this morning is almost everybody in the church. Who needs God's wisdom in a new way? Who needs God's presence in a new way? Who's just tired of checking the box and want to move to the next level? I mean, that's me, right? That's you. And so what I'm going to do is open this altar here in just a few minutes. And if you'd like to come, I'm just going to pray a prayer over you. And what I'm going to pray for is that God begin today to reveal himself to you in a great way, in a new way, in a fresh way. And that over this next several weeks and months or however long God has us here, that we begin to experience the Holy Spirit in a new, profound way. That Nick Westers, who was up here a few minutes ago, begin to experience God in a whole new way, that every time he does an intake of a young man, a young woman, God will begin to show him things. You know what? If that doesn't happen, then I'm not going to be go home and cry. No, I'm just going to keep praying, keep believing. Yeah. I hope that he prays for me, that every time that I preach, I have a whole new level of insight, a whole new level of understanding. A whole better way to share it so it's palatable. It's not so weird, right? Is that okay? Is that all right? So I want you to bow your heads, and those of you who'd like to come to the altar, just step out of your seat now. Just come on. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Say, you know what? I need more of God. I want more of God in my life. I've got a situation that I'm desperate for. I've got an issue that's going on that I need the Holy Spirit to speak to me, to move in my life, and to help me. And these brothers and sisters that are here at the front row here, they're going to pray for you, lay hands on you and pray for you. But I'm just telling you, God has more for you than you could think, hope, or ask for. He's got more for you than think, hope, or ask. I'm just telling you, God's going to move powerfully in your life. God's going to heal your body. He's going to move in a great way, okay? You got to quit being scared and start cooperating with him, okay? Put both hands up in the air. Both hands. Say this with me, okay? Say this with me. Close your eyes. Say this, Lord Jesus, I trust you. Thank you that you're sending your Spirit in a powerful way into my life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And for each and every person here, as you raise both hands in the air, why don't you say this prayer with me? Lord, I surrender to your Spirit. I surrender all my thinking to you and your word. And Lord, I'm asking you to bring your Spirit at a whole new level in my life. In Jesus' name. Lord, I want to know you, but also want to experience you, Lord. So help me. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I like you. Tell me your name.
Michelle.
Michelle, put both hands up in there, Michelle. The Lord's heard every prayer you've prayed. He hadn't forgotten you. He's with you. You've been carrying some people for so long, you're just worn out. The Lord said, if you'll give them to me, I'll save them. I'll change their life. I'll change their hearts. And so the Spirit of the Lord is really upon you right now. God's going to give you a supernatural ability to see where people are in their lives. You're going to begin to speak that into their hearts. You're going to speak that into their lives. And you're going to see them moved from where they are today into a whole new place with God. Some are going to be totally lost, and all of a sudden they're going to be found. And I tell you, you're going to become one of those people that every month the section of church that you fit in gets bigger. Because you're going to be bringing people who got saved, people who got set free, people who got prayed for, people who need more of Jesus. I'm telling you, I see you running up and down your street, in your place where you live, just telling people about Jesus. And just telling, you know what, I don't know everything, but my pastor does, so come up there and hear him. All right, I see that. I see God working in your life. I just said that to be funny, but I'm just telling you, God's going to use you, okay, in other people's lives. Say this, say, Lord Jesus, thank you. I receive this.
I receive this.
And I thank you.
And I thank
that people are going to get saved around me.
That people are going to get saved around
in
me.
Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 What's your name, dude?
Francisco.
Francisco, come right here if you will. Francisco, the call of God's on your life. It's on your life. I mean, you're up here at this altar because you've sort of been knowing that God's been working in my life. God's been pulling me. You've had some extra natural things happen to you. You've had some things that should have happened to you that didn't. I believe you had some dreams and some visions, some things that God's begun to show you. You know that where you are today is not where you're headed. And so I just see the Spirit of the Lord on your life. And I just want to just affirm that. Lord, I thank you that your Holy Spirit is upon Francisco's life. And Lord, I see the call of God on his life. And I see, Father, in this young man, Lord, the makings of a powerful leader in the body of Christ. Lord, as I'm praying for you now, Francisco, I see a pillar. That's what I see in my mind's eye, a pillar. And I believe the Lord's called you to be a pillar in his church. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to just be given to you. But the Lord says, I'm going to begin to walk with you in a way that's going to mature you and bring you into a place where you're hungry for more of me, into a place where you begin to open God's word and begins to be alive for you, in a place where you begin to speak God's word and it begins to move in other people's lives. And I just even see you in a Starbucks right now at a table talking to another guy. And you, all of a sudden, you just break out into prophecy. You just begin to prophesy over him, minister to him, begin to tell him the future that he's got, begin to sow hope into his life. And I just think this is going to be a recurring event for you. God's going to use you in this way. And so I just ask the Lord just to stir up the gifts and the power and the life of the Holy Spirit. Yes. And Lord, I pray, Father, that you would use Francisco in a powerful way in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right. Praise the Lord. It's pretty good, isn't it? Yeah. Demonstration of the Spirit and power. And so that's what I'm believing for. That's what I'm believing for all of us. What I'm believing for all of us. So you are a powerhouse. Now just go be one. Okay? God's already appointed you, so just go do it. Wherever you are, just do it. Okay? That's you. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, I love you guys. Proud of you. What's your name?
Carson.
Carson. I've met you, Carson, haven't I? Have I met you? It's your first time here. Wow. Did you know you'd be walking to the altar the first time here? No, you didn't know. Yeah. I didn't know you would be either. That's two of us. But the Holy Spirit knew. Holy Spirit woke you up this morning with a plan for your life. Holy Spirit is really on you right now. I mean, just the power and the presence of God is just, I just see, just kind of like a, just see like a, you're being wrapped in something. And I just feel like the Lord is going to begin to make himself known to you in new and fresh ways, Carson. And I don't think it's an accident that you're here. I think God has something special in store for you and your life. There's a calmness in your demeanor. There's a steadiness in your gait. There's a, you know, people come to you for advice a lot of times, and people try to look you up to, and they begin to pour their heart out to you. That's not natural. That's just because of the supernatural grace that's on your life. And I just see the Lord beginning to work with you and beginning to work in your behalf in a powerful way that the words that you speak to people are going to begin to come to pass in their life. And I just see a real prophetic edge on you. If you just put your hand right here on your stomach. Now, Father, just stir up the prophetic gift in Carson. In Jesus' name, fill him with the power and the life of the Holy Spirit now. And, Lord, thank you that you have big days and big things in store for him. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. 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 Give somebody a high five. Give them a hug. The Lord bless you, and I'll see you here next week. God bless you.